Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Our YouTube poll for today, go join us on the Annie Fry YouTube channel and vote in the live chat poll asking you, do you want to see the Matt Gaetz ethics report? You've got three options today. Yes, you do. No, you don't. Or you, yes, you want to see it, but only if he's going to run again. We had a decent conversation about this yesterday and kind of materialized into, well, if would you want to know about it if it was Hakeem Jeffries, who's the leader of the Democratic Party, or Nancy Pelosi, or anybody in the squad, or Eric Swalwell, or Nadler, or something like that? Would you want to know?
Only Nadler.
Only Nadler.
Yeah.
How is he still there?
Must be a real safe district.
Mm-hmm. Do they know? You have to turn your mic off.
It's just an island with him on it. He's the only one that gets to vote. I vote for me.
Even he should reconsider.
Nadler for Nadler. That's their signs.
That kind of sounds like grandma's bread basket. We're just curious if you want to know. And I'm peeking at the results here. It's divided.
Is it?
There are three options, and all three options could pull this off at the end.
No kidding.
So go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel and tell us if you would want to see Matt Gaetz's ethics report. Talked a little bit about this earlier in the show, and I can't help you heard Harris Faulkner at 12:25. She referenced this. Joe Biden's falling asleep in Angola or wherever the heck he is. Yeah. He doesn't know. He's asleep.
Yeah, that's been that's sad.
47 days left in his presidency. I still think that something is going to happen and Kamala Harris is going to become the president. They're going to have to find her.
Yeah, well, that's what is this administration doing? Because whenever I see a significant announcement, it's from somebody like Anthony Blinken. It's not from the president. It's not from the vice president.
Or Corinne Jean-Pierre saying, obviously, we've been clear, blah, blah, blah. It's like nobody's clear on anything.
No.
You're not even, your administration is even there.
No. And so you're left with Corinne Jean-Pierre, who is just a terrific press secretary, answering these questions. And you don't know if she's answering on behalf of the president or on behalf of somebody else, or just that she's up there trying to shield off questions for long enough to find out what's really going on herself.
Well, I think what we do know is the absence of people actually speaking for themselves on any of these matters is that we have a lot of questions about who is running the show. Who's making decisions? And I have so many questions that somebody out there is going to make a boatload of money when they write the book on it. When they take us behind the curtain in this administration and tell us how things really went. Because if Joe Biden is falling asleep on camera at tables with high profile people from foreign countries, what is he doing behind closed doors?
Oh, my gosh. I can't. Yeah, that book is being written right now.
It better be. And it better have sourced, named, verifiable facts in it so that we can actually get to the bottom. Because there is a huge, huge cover-up happening this entire presidency on the decision-making process. I don't care. I mean, I remember at the beginning of the presidency, people would ask Joe Biden or Jen Psaki or whoever, like, how often is Joe Biden talking to Barack Obama? And their answer was all the time. Like there was no hiding of the fact that those conversations were taking place. But even that's not even being discussed right now. And anything that you said, Did you see the Peter Doocy? He made like a YouTube or a short for Fox News, and he's standing under some magnificent light display. There's like strands of lights like crazy going on top of him. He's like, do you know where I am? I'm in the rabbit hole, or at least that's where Corinne Jean-Pierre told me I was going to be when Hunter Biden actually got pardoned by his father. And then it cuts to the clip of him asking Corinne Jean-Pierre, is there any chance at all that we do see Joe Biden come and pardon Hunter Biden? And she's like, come on, Peter. You know we're not going to go there. I'm not going down that rabbit hole with you. It's so condescending and snarky. And his very snarky, condescending video back amused me, for one.
As it should.
Yes, absolutely. But what are the questions that you want answers to that we've been filling in the gaps for so long? We were told that Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, the person who wanted to represent you as the president of the United States instead of Donald Trump, was telling you weeks before Joe Biden short-circuited on the stage with Donald Trump at the debate that she couldn't keep up with him. That's telling. Considering the context of what we saw with our own eyes, I want to know, did Joe Biden willfully resign, or did somebody do it for him? He resigned on X, which of all places to go, you go to Elon Musk, the guy who was literally fearing his freedom if Kamala Harris was going to win. You post that on X, and then you said it was like 30 minutes later.
Yeah.
The Joe Biden X account comes out and endorses Kamala Harris. Did they do that in spite? Did they throw the wrench in the whole system? Did they say, fine, we'll do it your way, but I'm going to have this? And then Joe Biden endorses Kamala Harris. How do you undo it? Did Kamala Harris really want to run for president this time? Did she not want to run for president? And did she have to do it because of the way Joe Biden set her up? Those are two of the main questions that I want answers to. What do you want to know?
Well, that's one of the main ones that I would, too, is how did that whole thing unfold? Because that's going to be the crux of the whole book. Everybody wants to know that. But I would like to know also, did Joe Biden and Kamala Harris like each other? Did they work
ever?
Not just at that moment. What was their entire administration like? Did they work together? Did they talk to each other? Did they hate each other? And then kind of second to that, was that because of Jill Biden? How much was she running the show? So that's almost another question.
Mm-hmm. Kamala Harris was calling Joe Biden racist on the primary stage.
Yeah. Exactly. And then all of a sudden, they're best friends. We did it, Joe. We did it. So I would love to know not only that question, but then also kind of secondary to that, how much was Jill Biden running the show? Because we know she's been involved. Like at the very end here, we know she's been very involved.
The week before he pseudo resigned or whatever that was from the race, she was everywhere.
She's the one standing there when he gets done with the debate. He walks out on stage. Of course, adoring fans who are all probably part of the administration are there cheering. You did it, Joe. You answered all the questions.
Oh, yes, that's right. Oh,
before she even did that, she was the one helping him down the steps of the debate stage. Do you remember that? I mean, that was one of the times where he looked as old as I've ever seen him look.
And so the speculation is, to your question, who actually made that announcement? You know, the speculation is that she was involved in that somehow. I would love to know how much she was involved from day one through the last day, even to now, I guess, because we're still not to that last day. How much was she running the show?
What about you, Brad?
When I look at this, well, Ryan stole that one from me. I was going to say,
stolen valor.
What percentage of the time was it Jill making the calls or whatever? What role did she play? But I also want to know, like, who made the call, hey, we're going to send the Justice Department after Donald Trump? Where did that originate from? Did that originate from Joe? Did that originate from, you know, the forces that were kind of running the show? Where did that come from? And was the Justice Department actually sent after Trump? I think that he is, but I want to know that's what they actually did. Was that their election strategy for 2024, was to throw Trump in jail and then let the chips fall where they may?
I don't know how much. I don't know. The answer to are we going to get answers is always yes if there's money in it. If the payday is going to happen, we're going to get some answers. And then, of course, it's always going to be a version of the truth. It's going to be somebody's perspective or whatever, which is why I want to make sure that you have some source verifiable facts that people are willing to go on the record to say. But there is absolutely money to be made. And there are a lot of people infighting in this party right now trying to point fingers and blame something other than whatever their particular role was in the matter. That I think rushing to be the person who puts the story out, I think there will be competition on that as well.
I hope so. There should be. I mean, unfortunately, that's the world you live in. When you lose, everybody scatters. You know, everybody's looking for their next job. And one of those paydays could be, hey, we'll give you X amount of signing bonus if you write a tell-all with our ghost writers here. Mm. That's the way it works.
Could be Jill.
Oh, boy.
Brad started to go down this rabbit hole, whatever the word we were using before. And that's kind of a whole nother world that I stayed away from a little bit with this, is all the different agencies, what was their involvement? I guess through the White House, you could ask that question and say, what was the White House's role in any of these prosecutions? What was the White House's role in defending their own possible illegal activity? Because that's a big question now after the pardon that nobody was really talking about, but all of a sudden has become another big issue, is how much illegal activity was this family and this president of the United States involved in, both as vice president, then in between administrations, and then as president? Because there's a lot of question marks that everybody had even before he was elected, let alone how was he dictating, or whoever was running the show, dictating to different agencies, no, lay off of us on these IRS issues, lay off of us on the gun charges, lay off of us on investigating anything with our overseas business dealings. I would love for somebody to crack that egg open and let us know what was going on.
Well, we'd like to know what you think about it, too. And, when it comes to knowing the truth, isn't that what we want?
Yeah.
Aren't we so far out of being able, as American citizens, taxpayers, voters, of being provided the truth for us to decide? At the end of this, we might find out that Joe Biden has been a victim this whole time. I have a hard time thinking that's the way I'm going to come down on it, but he might have been victimized more than I would have known. Maybe he was complicit. Maybe Jill Biden was the master of it, and she tried to get it past the finish line, and she couldn't do it. Maybe they were innocent the whole time. But I'd like to know who knew what, and I would like to know when they knew it. Because if Joe Biden was truly a puppet president that a lot of people believe him to be, I am one of them who believes that he was the not Trump warm body that they thought they could get across the finish line. I want to know who agreed to that. I want to know who was making decisions when the time came. Kamala Harris said all the time she was the last person in the room to make all these difficult decisions. If you were the last person in the room, was Joe Biden still in the room?
Nah, she was just there alone, it seems.
Like, oh, are we done
John
here?
Travolta there.
She's falling asleep in meetings now.
I do want to know. And I really believe if there's money to be made, we will learn. Let's take a quick break. We'll get to some of the responses at the end of the show on our YouTube poll today. Do you want to know the details of Matt Gaetz's ethics report? Sean said no. I'd like to see him simply own up to anything pertinent in the report. That would be nice to be able to hear him say, here's the deal. This is what they're going to tell you. This is what they're going to say. And I'm going to give you my context to it first. Amy said no. I'm tired of the double standards. Anything Republican does is catastrophic, but Dems skate through life. I'm sick of it. No more dirty laundry. And Kurt says, nah, I'll comment more as the discussion progresses, but it appears Matt is completely out of the picture. At this point, I couldn't care less. What do you think? Annie Fry YouTube channel? Come vote. Leave a comment. We'll be right back.
This is the Annie Fry Show. Follow Annie on X at Annie Fry Show.
Just like the ones I used to know. Where those treetops listen and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow.
What's your favorite Christmas song? Not like, oh, I really like Oh Come All You Faithful, which is my favorite Christmas hymn and, like the song. But what's your favorite Christmas song, rendition, version, like, that's the one.
I tell you what, it is a song that I don't hear that often. I think that's probably why it's one of my favorites. Because anytime you hear it over and over and over, you're like, okay, I'm good.
Yeah.
But there's one, and I think it's called Mary's Boy Child, and it's by an African choir. And they used to play it sometimes on the radio. I don't hardly
hear
it anymore.
Can you find it? Mary's Boy Child, African
Choir. Mary's Boy Child, Jesus Christ, was born on Christmas Day. I love that song. It's so fun. Yeah.
Yeah, I know that one. But is there like, it's just by a choir?
Yeah, they've got a name. It's a name I don't. They don't have any other hits that I know of. So
it sounds African or Jamaican or something. It is Midwest.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. But it's just a cool song. Like, it's so happy.
How do you feel about Last Christmas?
When I first heard that song, it was probably 20 years ago because I never heard it in the 80s. And I think the story of that song is that it wasn't an 80s hit. But I liked it at first, and now I'm tired of it.
I'm never happy about that song.
You know why I liked it at first? Is because it has a really, really strange rhyme structure, but it works.
What about War Is Over? Is that the same?
Oh, gosh, no.
Did you say gush?
Gush.
What about you, Brad? What's the fave?
Man, I really, really, really like Lift Up Your Eyes by Danny Gokey.
Oh, yeah?
That song just goes good. I like it. It's such a powerful, celebratory song.
You seemed like you had something else you were going to say about Last Christmas. What was percolating there?
I just hate the song.
Okay, I thought that's where it was headed.
I just wanted to have a group bashing of it. Just to make sure we're officially on the record.
I'm okay with that. It's had its day.
Do you enjoy Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You the first time of the Christmas season?
Yes.
Me too.
But that's it.
That's one.
Yeah.
That's one more time than I like Last Christmas.
Yeah.
Or War Is Over.
Oh my gosh, War Is Over.
Is that the name of the song?
No, that's the John Lennon song. No, but there's another any song that's about Christmas and war, I'm like, get this out of here. the one that's someday at Christmas, men will be free, playing with bombs like kids play with toys.
Excuse me.
Not in that order.
What?
But that those are real lyrics to that song. That's the one.
Jesus Christ was born on Christmas Day.
When it drops, I want you to Zumba.
All right.
Oh, here he goes. There he goes. It's all in the hips. It's all in the hips. Why are we not at the beach?
Sometime I'll go in Bethlehem.
Yeah! He's saluting. All right, turn this down. We'll never get him back.
That's great. Ethan, that's a great song.
Ethan, you are on it today.
KZK, you listening? That's a great song.
KZK. Yeah, go tell the people operating KZK right now.
I will.
Go let them know.
Jake.
Just get your own set.
They love that. They love when people come and go, why aren't you playing this song more? Turn that Bruce Springsteen off.
I actually want to know how many songs are in the Christmas library for KZK. Because you know how, like, when you tune into something, you're like, any radio station, sometimes it feels like they only play three songs. And that's absolutely not the truth.
Right.
I wonder how many songs are actually in it. Because we have a Christmas special. The Annie Fry Show, I like own Christmas here on the station, 97.1. So I think Christmas Eve at 6 p.m. Is that when our special starts?
Yes, yeah.
I've been talking with Trisha a little bit about this. Where'd you go, Ryan?
I was reading the Last Christmas lyrics.
Stop it! Come back to me! Read it in the break.
Okay.
Don't we start our Christmas special at 6 p.m.?
Yeah, we do. I don't know if it's every year, but I know that's what we're doing this year.
We've got a lot of really cool things that are involved in it, but we also try to play Christmas songs that are more unique to... It's not stuff that you wouldn't hear, but I mean, like the Danny Gokey song, like Brad said he liked. I've been playing that on this show, I guess, maybe since he put out that album. I've always liked Danny Gokey, and he is a strong Christian. He is an outspoken conservative, but he's much more about Jesus than anything else, which I appreciate. Mm-hmm. Danny Gokey he's a pastor who was on American Idol. He lost his wife before he was on American Idol, now has a new wife and family, and he's very happy, he's very successful. He's got a really neat story, and he just kind of comes out and was willing to be like, I think that Donald Trump should win the election. I don't know, like, if that was his main thing until as of late, but he just has really good music, and he really loves the country, and he loves Jesus.
Yeah. You know what's funny about him? When he first started to show up on the Christian music scene, people were like, what is this? Guy sounds like he's from the 80s. Like, he's got that voice that just sounds a little older. And he wrote a tell-all book about himself, like a biography, an autobiography, because it was about himself. And apparently, when he lost his wife, that's like a big part of his testimony.
Mm-hmm. It would be.
But then he met, and this was right after the book was released, because I was in Christian music at the time. Everybody was like, he married a fan. His wife was just a fan of his. And everybody was like, You sure this is like the best part of your testimony? But they've been married for years now.
Yeah.
So it was just at the time, everybody was like, oh, this wasn't where I thought this was going.
Do you feel like, do you seek out Christmas music? Do you put Christmas music on?
Yeah, we have Christmas records. We have all kinds of random stuff.
What do your kids like to listen to?
During Christmas season or?
No, in February.
Like, yes. they like listening to Christmas music almost exclusively.
What kind? Like, what do they like? The old classics? Because you and I both talked about our record collections. You go to an estate sale and there's like one version of some sort of song on there that you really want to hear, so you buy the 25-cent record, and then you listen to the rest of the record and you learn things. So what do your kids like to listen to?
They don't have a particular favorite record, but they do love a lot of just like the Grinch and stuff like that. I mean, they're kids, so they like the stuff that they can associate with cartoons. And they just love everything about Christmas. But they're getting now to where they realize, oh, this is like a Christian Christmas song. And they kind of have an appreciation for some of those. We're learning them at church this year a little bit more. And it's neat to see them.
Do you ever hear an Andy Williams or a Bing Crosby song in March and it's not Christmas? And you're like, oh... They did other things.
Yeah, and that's odd.
It's weird. Like, Christmas was... is White Christmas Bing Crosby's biggest success ever? Maybe, but did he do anything else? Yes.
That's the craziest thing. I was in the bathroom today listening to Elvis.
Oh. As every great story starts.
Let's just go to break. I don't need to tell the rest of that.
It's so early. I can't do it. Go on.
I was in the bathroom and Blue Christmas was playing. And I thought, I bet the estate of Elvis Presley gets more money from Blue Christmas than they do from Blue Suede Shoes.
Is Brock Miles the background singer in Blue Christmas?
No.
Could you cover it?
I'd have to talk to him.
To him?
Yeah.
Do you know where he is?
Yeah.
You do not. Why? Have you seen the Donald Trump Elvis connection?
I've seen AI pictures.
Donald Trump. This is like the most Ryan Wiggins thing that Donald Trump does. He will like casually bring up, you know, people think Elvis and I look alike.
No.
Oh, heck yes.
Donald Trump says that?
Google Donald Trump, Elvis Presley.
Hang on, I got to get off and the just last Christmas lyrics.
Yeah, put those aside. Google Donald Trump, Elvis Presley, and then you'll be able to see the different stories that come up that show the uncanny. They actually kind of did maybe sort of look like. There's a lot of cheek, if you know what I mean. Cheek.
Elvis Presley. I there's so many random stories. There's no real clear thread here. I'm finding a lot of random stuff with the two, but there are pictures that come up of Donald Trump when he was young. There's one in particular where he's got a little curl and they're putting it next to Elvis and they don't look anything alike other than that curl of the hair.
You don't think they look alike at all?
No.
No similarity whatsoever.
Oh, you know what? I see it. Now, I'm scrolling through here. Now I find another one.
It kind of grows on you.
Of when Donald Trump was probably in his 40s and a picture of Elvis Presley when he was probably a little bit older. I'd say 30s. And I could see, a little bit. A little bit. Just with the pursed lips kind of thing. But it still seems like a stretch to me. But Donald Trump embraces this? Is he the one that's pushing it?
Yes. Like, for years.
Okay. I mean, I can't believe I voted for this man.
You take everything back. I feel like Christmas music is the first time you hear a Christmas song, whenever it is. And there are people out there like, if it's before Thanksgiving or whenever, like everybody has their idea of when Christmas is supposed to start. How does it not make you happy to hear Christmas music? Do you remember during COVID when everything was shutting down? I mean, I think even we did it. Not here in the station, but people, I think, there were radio stations that decided to play Christmas music, and everyone was like, this is super weird.
Oh, way early.
Yeah. Like,
there were stations doing it, not just the Christmas in July.
Maybe,
no.
It was like February or March, whenever things shut down, and it was like maybe during the 15 days of slow spread, where everybody was shut down and everybody was freaking out.
We might
out.
Have done that. And not it, this station, yeah.
That's
exactly what you
what
said.
What I just said. But, I mean, people put Christmas music on because the natural inclination is you hear Christmas music and it makes you feel happy. And you're, like, at home, locked in your house, not allowed to talk to people or see your family. Christmas music doesn't make it feel better.
Yeah.
That was another example of the bizarro things that took place during COVID. That it's when you go back and look at it, you're like, what in the world were we doing?
Anytime I feel down, I listen to Christina Aguilera telling me I'm beautiful just the way I am.
So you don't even have to be Christmas time to do that.
I don't do it. I listen to that. I listen to Alicia Cara.
What does she say?
Also that I'm beautiful just the way that I am.
Does she?
Yeah.
Isn't she the one who says, sings royals?
No, that's Lord. I listen to other songs that tell me the same thing. You're beautiful. I'm like, yeah, darn right I am. I just sit in the bathtub, no water.
Can we get a break? This would be good. Just play something. Play something and get us out of here. The YouTube live chat poll, do you want to see the Matt Gaetz ethics report? Yes, only if he runs again, or no. We will answer this question along with your thoughts and results when we come back. Ender says, all for it, release it, then open ethics investigations for everyone else in Congress and release all of those reports too. I'm not opposed to that, Ender. I think that might be a good idea. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Just like the one that
you have to try. If you need advice, let me simplify.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We appreciate you being with us this afternoon. It's Wednesday. I mean, I love countdowns. You guys know I'm always counting down to the next thing. 47 days until Inauguration Day. And that doesn't seem like...
How many days again?
47 days until Inauguration Day, which yesterday was a big day because I still think Kamala Harris is going to be the president for like 7 days.
I don't.
I know.
And okay. I'm never wrong, so...
Not when you're talking. And we have 21 days till Christmas. 3 weeks to Christmas.
That's coming fast.
Do you remember? It was like May. And I was like, Christmas is going to be here. And you guys are like, shut up, Annie.
Yeah. You said that in May, and then you said it in June, and then July,
it was still
and then
coming.
August.
Yeah, thank you. I get the point. What? The day, like, the time after Christmas, I used to get really sad about Christmas being so far away.
Really?
Yeah. Like, when I hate endings. I've talked about this before. I do not handle endings well emotionally. And I'm not an emotional person, but when it comes to such a finality of things, I just have a very hard time letting go, I guess. And good grief with kids. It's just a series of endings. Oh, it could be a series of beginnings. Yeah, it could be, but I'm stuck on the ending of everything. It's the last this, it's the last that, whatever. It's very difficult. And it's my son starting high school this year. The eighth grade endings of things, there was a lot of stuff. It's just like the unknown. I think it'll probably be easier to watch my daughters leave eighth grade and go into high school because I will have done that. But then my son will be going to college. But I just find it very difficult. Even on the smaller scale things, like Christmas is over. Of course, Christmas is coming around again. But when it's over, I feel like I used to feel sad about it. I don't feel sad about it as much anymore. And once again, I stress, Donald Trump, 47 days from today, being inaugurated, I'm not wanting to hurry past Christmas and be so focused on what's going to happen here in the future that I forget to have a fun Christmas. But, oh my goodness, Christmas is coming in January.
It's going to be great because we talk about the big picture things that Donald Trump is focused on, rightly so. That's the most important stuff, the big stuff. But there will be most likely a real tangible, quick benefit to having him as the president. And that will come in mostly, you know, gas prices. I think that you'll see that that will be affected probably the quickest of all the things that he's going to do.
Our YouTube live chat poll for today is, do you want to see the Matt Gaetz ethics report? Yes. Only if he runs again, or no? So three different options there. Brad, what do you think about this report? Because right now, everything we know, Matt Gaetz has left Congress. He's not a representative. He's not appointed or nominated anything else. He is a civilian.
Yeah, I'm of the mindset that I kind of just only want to see it if he runs again, if he runs for another office, any office, whatever that may be. It could be even be dog catcher. I don't care. At that point, I want to see it because it plays an important role to me. The other side of that, the flip side of that is I don't want it out there just to ruin the guy either. You know, I think if there were criminal charges, they would have been pressed, you know, if it was.
Let me play devil's advocate to that just for a second. If he did things that are incredibly unethical and it's part of who he is and it ruins him, the truth being out there, if he's protected from that right now, you are in favor of him being protected from that?
Well, what I'm saying is I don't know that it could be something that would be so horrible that his whole life needs to be ruined if they didn't press those charges on him. We're talking about, you know, sex with underage women.
That's, I say 17 like it matters that it's 17 and not 12.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah. And that's what we're talking about here. And if it was a situation where somebody lied to him about their age or something like that, I don't think the man should be buried for the rest of his life. But why weren't the criminal charges? I mean, if it's illegal, it's illegal. Let's prosecute him for it then. If not, then he's not guilty of it and we should let it go. Unless he's going to run for office, because then it speaks to his character and decision-making abilities.
I am of the persuasion that only if he only.
Gosh, we cannot be mailing it in on Wednesday, December 4th.
Only if he runs again.
We have 21 days till Christmas.
I do think that this stuff should come out because it helps people make informed decisions about whether they want to vote for him. And if it does come out that they say this ethics report suggests that he had participated in questionable behavior, not illegal behavior, then that could still inform a voter. So I'm okay with that.
Do you think that the ethics report had any percentage, and if you do, how much percentage, in his decision to resign from Congress?
I'm going to say that was like 95% of the reason.
Oh, I think it's like 99% of the reason.
No, I'm going to say it's 99.5% of the reason.
We got six more minutes. Keep going.
Brett?
100%.
Well, you lose.
I'm like, come out here and give 110% today.
Don't hurt yourself. I think it's absolutely the reason he resigned. And therefore, I think the American people should be able to see it. And if he resigned because of it, because he didn't want it to come out, he was still working on behalf of the people when he was serving in Congress. If it's what I feel like it would be, because like Brad's saying, the investigation stopped and there were no charges brought against him. So in theory, we're trusting this Justice Department to say there was nothing they could pin him for.
Which is incredible.
If they determined that there was nothing illegal there. Again, just the fact that there isn't anything illegal taking place does not mean that there isn't anything that is unethical taking place that would affect the American electorate on their opinion of him. And I don't really think that the truth is only valuable when it's politically calculated. Because he's already served. He's already been paid by the American taxpayer. He's going to get, am I right, a pension?
I think he's been in there long enough.
He's been in there long enough. He's going to continue to draw from the American taxpayer. And there's no way that if the ethics report never comes out, if you were to vote no on this and it's never to come out, of course he's going to seek office again. He's not just going to become an advisor. Matt Gaetz wants to be front and center. And I'm of the mind that, like, stand up to what you did, own it, and then let the American people decide that you can move on. The American people are pretty forgiving. And if you have a, if you have reasons for why whatever happened happened, speak to it and talk about it. I actually think the American people deserve to know. And, you know, we're, to me, suggesting that because charges weren't going to be brought, that it's not the business of the American people. I think he's already served enough public time and would likely be interested in doing it again, that the truth should be out there. And then you can see what it is. You can read the report and then you can say, it's bad, but it's not worse than X, Y, and Z person have done. Eric Swalwell was sleeping with Chinese spies while he was on the Intelligence Committee in the House of Representatives. He's still in Congress. So if you have a problem with the double standard, then vote accordingly. But with the, I'm never opposed to having more information.
And it does matter that this was an ethics report led by Republicans and Democrats.
Republicans that maybe hated him.
Yeah, possibly. But Democrats cashed in their credibility on the January 6th committee.
Mm-hmm.
So if you trust these people to be bipartisan, you trust that they're probably Republican, because the Democrats are not bipartisan on these kinds of things. They've shown it.
I want to read a couple comments here before Ethan gives us the results. Are we 56-50 here?
56-50.
Yes. Chris says yes. 100% to expose what really happened to this man. It is another disgusting move by the Democrats. So Chris is saying publish it so that we can see the kind of crap that the Democrats have been up to. I think that's an interesting take. Betsy said no, let's move on. If he runs again, it will come out then. So I guess that's maybe only if he runs again vote. And RSG said yes, it will expose how Joel Greenberg, tax collector for Seminole County, was giving out real Florida driver's licenses to underage girls busted by the FBI, and how the FBI tried to blackmail Gates with this. There are some details that you might want to know. Ooh. And if that's part of the story, I would like to know it. Ethan, let's get to the results of today's YouTube Live Chat poll.
Today's results of the YouTube Live Chat poll, I just repeated what you just said, 259 votes. Do you want to see the Matt Gaetz ethics report? 41% say no. That is the leading vote. 35% say yes, and 24% say only if he runs again.
It's kind of an interesting breakdown.
Yeah.
Close to equal yes and no, and then a little bit there in the middle.
A little in the middle.
Well, we appreciate you being with us. A reminder, if you go to anniefryshow.com/podcast, you can listen to our podcast right there on the media player that's on the website. And you can keep it right here if you're streaming on the Odyssey app, listening on 97.1 FM Talk, wherever you consume 97.1. Mark Reardon's going to be here next. Don't go away.